Praise the Lord, Barbara. We get to sit down here in the United States. We're free to teach about the gospel and what's in the Bible.
That's right.
I praise God that we can talk about some of these heavy, heavy subjects.
That's right. And in the last hour, we were talking about the leaven of the Pharisees in the traditions of men. And Jesus was really coming and focusing on the teaching of the Pharisees and how it does not help men at all to grow up in traditions of men. And he says, in fact, in Matthew 15:8, he says, "The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And Darren, probably many of you listening today, you have been raised with teachings of men rather than the Bible. And in fact, if I ask many of you, you say, "Well, the pastor says, the rabbi says, the priest says, father says," and you don't dig that out for yourself. Well, you have grown up under the traditions of men, and for the most part, and it has stifled you. It has stifled your own personal growth.
You know, we better pray, because this is really a heavy teaching. And
it is.
Jesus used how many chapters in the book of Matthew to talk about this subject?
Well, approximately 10 chapters
10.
Out of 28 chapters in Matthew.
That's pretty important. And I'll tell you, Barbara, we just need to really go after today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up this teaching on the traditions of men. We, like Jesus, are so concerned, Father God, because it hurts, it paralyzes, it really shackles people from being what you've created them to be. And certainly when they come into the kingdom of light, they get born again. You want to get them set free so they can live productive lives in the kingdom of God. We thank you today, Father God, as the word goes forth. We are your servants. We are your conduits. So, Lord, we see you allowing that anointing to go through our lives to touch our listeners, friends, and power partners. Again, we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. What one thing do you attribute to keeping you from having that power in your life growing up and as a young man?
I believe, Barbara, it was external rules. I believe that they really wanted to be, we were known as holiness people in the church that my dad pastored. And we tried to carry out the holiness as a denomination and as a local church by the way you dressed, the way you acted. You didn't go to certain places, you know. And I still carry that some of that out. You know, there's some places that I don't want to go to because there's so much defilement. But to look at the way I dress, to look at the way you dress, I believe is wrong. I believe
and measure a Christian by that,
and
yes.
Say, well, you're a Christian because you have a very long skirt on, or because you wear a bun on the back of your head, or you don't wear jewelry, you don't wear makeup. All of these things would determine. And Jesus was teaching an internal message.
He was
talking about the message of the heart. And I believe, Barbara, and I'm going to say it right here at the beginning of this message, that I believe some people are in absolute death camps. Mm-hmm. Now, those are strong words, and I said it on purpose. I said it with premeditation. It's like a man that came to the other night, and he says, "I want to be healed." And I said, "Okay, do they teach healing in your church?" He said, "Well, we have a healing service about every 6 weeks. The same people are there, and nobody gets healed." Well, I'm sorry. I was raised in a situation much like that. It sickened me. I wanted to see the power of God, because we heard the stories in the Bible, but we didn't see it working in our church. Mm-hmm. And there was so much death, and there was so much loss. And Jesus came against those very same things in the book of Matthew.
Well, that's why he devoted a lot of his ministry to actually confronting the Pharisees and Sadducees. And chapter after chapter after chapter, they're testing Jesus. And so he comes back, and he teaches against their political agendas. And they did have political agendas.
You know, some people get really uncomfortable because we're pointing out some things and say, "Boy, that makes me feel bad about my church." Well, you know, we need to look at it. We need to say, are we receiving the true gospel here, or are we getting some other kind of a deal here that's going to hurt us?
Well, one thing that Malcolm Smith, I really appreciate his teaching, and it's right from the Word, and it's right from the literal text. And one thing he said about religion, and I've always kept this saying, Darren, it's the armor of the Christian is faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The armor of Satan is religion. And Malcolm himself has said the word, actual word religion, is return to bondage. And that's why we've named this series Chains That Bind, because when you're under a religious teaching of externals and rules and regulations, you are in chains. And I'd like to just give the definition of the word hypocrisy. And that was one thing Jesus came against in the Pharisees and Sadducees.
And he did call them hypocrites.
Oh, he
straight
did.
Straight out. He got up in their face and said, you're hypocrites.
He did. He called them whitewashed sepulchers and full of dead bones. And I mean, Jesus came right. He was very descriptive. But Webster talks about hypocrisy and saying that it's acting or playing a part. To feign or make believe or assume a false identity or appearance of piety and virtue. In actuality, it's pretending, and it's being very insincere, because it's really doing one thing in your own private domain and then telling people to do something else.
You know, I saw so many young people like myself, or I should say my age group, that left the church because of the phony rules and regulations, these things they put on us. And we kids could see the duplicity. We knew they were living a double life. And many of the kids got up, and they not only tossed out the church, but the Lord Jesus Christ right along with it. And that is an absolute tragedy. I mean, that really hurts me when people are not seeing the true Jesus. They're seeing some of these Mickey Mouse games and all this kind of stuff. And now we can go and we can be more refined, and we can say, well, that doesn't go on in my church.
Well,
now, wait a minute. When you gave this definition up here that Malcolm Smith gave, the armor of the Christian is faith and the finished work of Jesus Christ.
In the
you have to live
work.
Faith.
Yes, that's
and if
right.
they don't teach faith, how in the world can you be pleasing to God when he says you must believe that he exists? You know, if you're going to be pleasing to him, you must believe that he exists and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And in many of these dead churches, they receive absolutely nothing in a whole lifetime from the Lord.
Well, and it looks so good on the outside. It really does. It looks so beautiful. And that's why the armor or the outside or what people see, they're seeing something that is pious, is, you know, virtuous. I mean, at least it looks like that. And Satan loves that. And that religion keeps us under. There's one parable in Matthew 21. And it talks about a landowner who calls his two sons to go to work in the vineyard. And the one son immediately says, oh, I will, sir. But he didn't go. And he came to the second one, and the same thing. He said, oh, I can't possibly go. This is too difficult. And he's saying he just couldn't do it. But afterwards, he thought about it, and he says, you know, I am. I'm going to go do what my dad said, asked me to do. Which of the two, Jesus asked, did the will of his father? And they said the latter. And of course it was the latter, the one who changed his mind and went and helped his dad. Jesus says here, truly I say to you that the tax gatherers and the harlots will get into the kingdom of God before you. Now who was he talking to here? He was talking to the Pharisees. And he says here, John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax gatherers and the harlots did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse. Now, that word remorse, it's really interesting. Dr. Zodiades brings it out. It is, you are saddened and you are remorseful for your sin, for the actual act of sin. Now, regret means, I'm sorry I got caught. But remorseful actually is saying, I sinned and I am coming to you, Jesus, and repenting. And he said, you Pharisees have never been remorseful about whatever you've done.
So what you're really saying is repentance really is a heart issue.
Remorse is a heart issue. It has to do with repentance.
Because you feel remorseful about this. And what's the other
word? Regret.
And regret is also an issue of the heart, but it's on the wrong side of the page.
That's right. It's
folks.
Saying, I'm sorry I got caught in my sin.
That's right.
You know, I'm just sorry I got caught. And we know several people in the United States who have been in the front news. They just were sorry they got caught. And they weren't sorry for their sin.
You're not talking about the White House.
No. Not at all.
You know, the double standard that they had, you know, they deal out heavy loads of obligations on the people, but they don't do any of them. And, you know, I saw some of that growing up, Barbara. Not in every case, but I saw too much of that where some of these rules and regulations that they put on the people were so unfair. I mean, it made no sense. But somebody, someplace in an office, in a headquarters or someplace, they were making up the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to put it on everybody else. And again, it was an external alignment trying to say, well, if you do this and this and this, in other words, performance, we will achieve probably conformity. Let's say it that way. If everybody conforms and everybody looks alike, we must be okay. And you don't want to look strange. You don't want to break cadence.
Yes. I think of some of these religions where they force their people to go many, many miles to go to a holy city or whatever to pray penance for their sins, and they spend thousands and thousands of dollars. One religion, I believe it's the Hindu, you have to go to the Ganges River in order to and dunk yourself in the Ganges in order to be holy. This kind of thing